Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Opener. We've got a great show opener for you here right in the 6 o'clock hour of Wednesday's Montana Talks. We've got Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines joining us on the phone lines, I believe, from Capitol Hill. Senator Daines, great to have you on this morning. Merry Christmas and eventually Happy New Year to you as well, if this is the last time we catch up before the new year.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
So as we look to head into the new year, Donald J. Trump, president once again, talk about just the last couple of weeks, I guess, on Capitol Hill. You've been meeting with President Trump's nominees. How well positioned is the soon-to-be Republican-controlled Senate and President Trump?
Well, the most important thing that we can deliver for President Trump is to move his nominees through. It's the first thing I told President Trump when we met after I was elected to be the Republican Senatorial Committee chairman. This goes back to January of 23. So nearly 2 years ago, I flew down to Mar-a-Lago, and I met with President Trump, and I told him that the most important thing we can give you in January of 25 will be a Republican Senate majority, because it's been said that the U.S. House is in the PR business. The Senate's in the HR business. We really have responsibilities for personnel, and had great meetings yesterday with several of President Trump's nominees. I mean, you look at who these leaders are that President Trump's bringing in. You know, Doug Burgum, Pete Hegseth, Scott Bessent at Treasury, Chris Wright in Energy, RFK Jr. HHS, Cash Patel FBI. I've met with all of these leaders. We're working very hard to get these new cabinet members through the U.S. Senate as quickly as possible. Here's what will happen. We will start hearings next month. We'll swear in the new Republican U.S. Senate on January 3rd. That's when Tim Sheehy will be sworn in. I'll be here in Washington to escort him into the U.S. Senate. It's part of the tradition. It's the first time in 114 years we've had two Republican U.S. senators in Montana. So I'll escort him in. He'll be sworn in the 3rd. We'll start hearings on these nominees in January. President Trump is sworn in January 20th, and we hope to have votes on the Senate floor for many of these cabinet officials right after President Trump is sworn in.
That's great to hear this sense of urgency, and I guess the military terminology, the violence of action. If you want to win, you got to have that violence of action. Sounds like you're ready to get the job done and get President Trump and his team in place as soon as possible, because there's a lot of problems to fix after these past 4 years. 30 seconds before the break, and then we'll talk more with you, Senator Daines, after that. But a lot of problems to fix after these last 4 years.
Well, there's a lot of undoing we've got to do and then get back on offense. But I tell you, think about the contrast. Doug Burgum at Interior versus Deb Haaland. Chris Wright, Secretary of Energy, a guy who's the CEO of a fracking company, versus Granholm. I mean, these are just day and night kind of improvements in leadership. And it's why I think a lot of us have smiles on our faces here as we come into the Christmas season.
I've noticed it even Christmas shopping, even grocery shopping. People are in the holiday spirit, and I think the optimism from the election results is a big part of that. Stand by. More to follow with Montana Senator Steve Daines right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see cloudiness and some breaks of sun as the day progresses. Still a chance for a rain or snow shower early in the Bozeman area. High temperatures are from the mid-40s in Bozeman, around 50 in the Billings area. South winds also gust to 40 miles per hour at times in Bozeman late. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid to upper 20s expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
The Center for Strategic and International Studies held a forum Tuesday to celebrate the fifth anniversary of the founding of the U.S. Space Force. Republican Congressman Mike Rogers of Alabama, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, spoke about how viewpoints have changed since the branch was created.
People have come to realize the very real threats that exist in space and the compelling need for a Space Force.
General Chance Saltzman, Space Force's chief of space operations, describes space this way.
A domain that has never been more vital to our national security and to our national prosperity.
He also described how vital space is to America's overall military strength.
Space is the backbone of the joint force. Without it, we cannot project military power.
While praising those who serve in the Space Force.
Without question, the Space Force Guardians are the preeminent space warfighters, armed and ready to protect and defend the future of our nation.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Do you get food delivered to your house here in Montana through popular food delivery services like Uber Eats or DoorDash? Watch out. This, according to a former FBI Hispanic gang expert who lives in Bozeman, Montana. He says this is a tactic sometimes used by the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua. That full story, the audio as well of our conversation, go to MontanaTalks.com and get the app on your smartphone.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back to it here with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. Senator, I know we've just got a couple of days left, really, on the legislative calendar. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping some of this Montana stuff could get across the finish line. The Crow Revenue Act to help out our coal miners in Roundup, et cetera, and help out the Crow tribe. Funding for the Milk River irrigation on the High Line. But it sounds like we're just going to have to wait till the Republicans take over the Senate and Trump's back in the White House to start addressing a lot of this stuff because the Democrats are just still playing political games. That's my read anyway. What's your thoughts?
Well, any time you're pushing for something that involves coal, you get strong, strong resistance from the Democrats. They hate coal. They want to shut it down. And that's just the reality of it. And this is why it's so important when President Trump is sworn in and brings in his new cabinet, we've got a pro all of the above American energy team that will be leading the charge to stop this nonsense that's going on, that's trying to keep coal in the ground, shut it down. And as you look to the future, Aaron, the reality is we're going to need 50% more energy in the next 25 years than we're currently consuming today. When you look at what's going on with digital assets, with AI, these are very energy-intensive technologies. It's going to require a lot more electricity. We need more baseload power, not less. And that is why what's going to be happening with Colstrip, what's happening at the Roundup, the Bull Mountain Mine, we need more coal. We need to continue to invest in coal because it is a low-cost, affordable, reliable source of energy. Let's look at carbon sequestration technologies. There are ways to continue to increase coal production, even reducing carbon emissions with technology. But the Democrats want to shut it all down. You can't run this economy on intermittent sources of energy, which are wind and solar. And I'm not opposed to renewables, but they are intermittent sources of energy. You've got to have baseload power. That's nuclear, it's hydro, it's coal. You got to have that or you don't have a reliable energy grid.
I know here in just a few minutes, you're going to be heading off to the weekly Montana Coffee, where the whole delegation typically has coffee with any of the Montanans that are back in Washington, D.C., visiting Capitol Hill. I saw a photo that inbound Congressman Troy Downing shared, and
It's just crazy to me. John Tester isn't even showing up. Apparently, he's not going to show up for the Crow Tribe and get the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line. He's on his way. But that Montana coffee, it's always been friendly, even when it's Democrat and Republican. But I guess from your standpoint, it's going to be even more friendly of a Montana coffee coming up that first week of January.
Well, looking forward to kicking off Montana coffee in January. Yes, today is our last Montana coffee of the year, and as Montanans are listening this morning, that's 8:15 a.m. every Wednesday. It's been a tradition, bipartisan, going back many, many years. And starting in January, you look at the starting lineup, it's going to be Tim Sheehy, Ryan Zinke, Troy Downing, and then myself. Look, we've got three of our four in the federal delegation from Montana are now combat veterans. Aaron, I'm the only guy that's not a combat veteran there for Montana coffee. And I'm grateful that we get to have this great lineup. And again, it's a free donut. It's free coffee. It's every Wednesday morning, 8:15 a.m. We want to continue to get a lot of Montanans there when they're in town. We call that the Montana family reunion. Oftentimes, we'll get a big crowd, and we'll have somebody that'll come in from Glendive, who's maybe cousin from Libby. They had no idea they were both in Washington that week, and they'll see each other at Montana Coffee. So
that'll
happen.
That's
the way that Montana operates, absolutely.
That just got me thinking. We should do Montana Talks. We should broadcast live from Montana Coffee sometime. How fun would that be?
That would be great. We could have Montanans who were showing up there could jump on the phone and say hi. That's a great idea, Aaron.
We could set up our equipment right there. We could be there, set up, enjoy some coffee, and then get the delegation on, get in any Montanans that might be out there. Well, we'll have to talk offline with your crew about that. That would be a ton of fun because it'd be fun to get back there, especially with this massive – because you talk about this historic – I mean, first time in what, 100 and how many? 14 years? 114? Is that –
It's the first time in 114 years that Montana has two Republican U.S. senators. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I'll become the senior U.S. senator for Montana beginning on January 3rd when Tim Sheehy is sworn in. And I'll tell you, Tim Sheehy is already shaking things up here in Washington. Folks are hearing about him. They can't wait to get him back sworn and off to the races. But he's one of these ready to lead from day one kind of individuals, extraordinary in so many ways. I know he and his sweet wife, Carmen, their family will be here on January 3rd for the swearing in. I'll be back here with Cindy to honor Tim Sheehy. And then on January 6th, we will certify the Electoral College, the election. I told Tim Sheehy, I said, Tim, I got good news, I got bad news. The bad news is Kamala Harris is going to swear you in. I said, the good news on January 6th, you get to watch Kamala Harris preside over the loss of her election. And by the way, we'll get payback on January 6th, and off we go.
The word of the day will be joy. It will be a joyous occasion.
It will be joy on that day, no doubt.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's see. We got about 30 seconds to go. Obviously, the elections, I think, are probably one of the biggest stories of the year. 30 seconds to go. How else would you recap 2024?
Well, I was speaking to a well-known business leader who has great ties to Montana the other day, and he said, Steve, I think this was the biggest election since World War II. And you know, when you step back and think about it, President Trump is changing what's going on in the world. You see Justin Trudeau collapsing. You see what's going on in the Middle East. It's really seeing America strong again. The world is anticipating President Trump being sworn into office. It's a lot like when President Reagan was elected in 1980 at that weak leader in Jimmy Carter. It was a moment of dramatic change for the world.
Well said. That's what's happening now. All right,
we've
got to hold it there. Enjoy Montana coffee.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
So we have an election, and the stock price of Tesla soars. We have a president-elect who likes oil production, so those companies look good while the fate of non-Tesla electric vehicle makers sours. And of course, Canada and Mexico worry about tariffs. The occupants of seats in Congress and the White House change, and the prospects for businesses and investment change. That's the way of the world. But is it a good thing for the economy? In the wake of active industrial policies like the CHIPS Act or the Inflation Reduction Act, which funnel tax dollars to specific companies, the power of those approving the earmarks and the special favors has never been larger. It's exactly the kind of game that has been played in developing countries for decades, and helps explain their stagnation. It's called crony capitalism, where resources flow to sectors with political connections, not actual returns. The more we emulate places like Brazil and Nigeria, the faster we may converge to the same kinds of of outcomes. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Country. I'm Michelle Polino. A judge denied Garth Brooks' attempts to get a sexual assault lawsuit dismissed. The lawsuit was filed by a former makeup artist, according to documents obtained by Fox News Digital. The motion to dismiss was denied due to an original action still pending in another state. In September, Brooks filed a lawsuit in Mississippi allegedly attempting to block an impending suit by Jane Doe. In the Brooks lawsuit, he denied the woman's claim that he raped her in 2019 during a trip to California for a music event. The judge ruled the California case will be stayed pending further information on the Mississippi case.
That don't impress me much.
Country music superstar Shania Twain announced plans for a short amphitheater and stadium tour in 2025 with only seven stops. The 2025 tour kicks off July in Buffalo, New York. Tickets will go on sale on Friday. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, it appears Congress has reached an agreement on a year-end spending deal that includes $10 billion in economic aid to farmers. Now, even though House Speaker Mike Johnson announced that a deal had been reached on a funding bill for the government and $100 billion in aid for natural disasters, the actual bill text still hasn't been released. However, Johnson talked about economic aid for farmers, and he did mention the number of people who had pressed Congress to act in the past few days. Among some of the top-line provisions for agriculture, $10 billion in financial aid to farmers suffering from low prices, a one-year extension of the Farm Bill through September 30th, 2025, including funding for the so-called orphan programs that require renewal funding authorization to keep going, and E15 will now be allowed to be sold year-round nationally. The bill, expected to be 1,500 pages long, will continue to fund the federal government through March 14th. In the meantime, Congress, of course, will scramble to pass the bill because the current funding bill does expire on Saturday. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this. Winter is coming, and now's the perfect time to ensure your John Deere equipment is ready for the next season. From sprayers to mowers, a professional winter inspection can save you time and money down the road. At C&B, our expert technicians will thoroughly inspect and service your equipment to keep it in top shape. Don't let winter downtime catch you unprepared. Schedule your winter inspection today and be ready to hit the ground running come spring. Contact us now to secure your spot. C&B, your trusted John Deere partner all year round.
Superior Livestock Auction welcomes you to Oklahoma City for the 2025 Bellringer Sale. Join us January 8th through the 10th at the Embassy Suites OKC Downtown, held in conjunction with our Rep Awards celebration on the 10th. The Bellringer is a great opportunity to market your cattle to our nationwide buyer base. For more details, to consign or get a buyer's number, log on superiorlivestock.com or call 800-422-2117.
Well, the NCBA is deeply disappointed by some of the changes that are proposed in the scientific report of the 2025 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. One suggestion for the U.S.'s new dietary guidelines is removing beans, peas, and lentils from being a subgroup of the vegetable category to being a subgroup of the protein category to align with evidence to help encourage plant sources of protein. NCBA President and Wyoming rancher Mark Isley calls the trend to push people away from meat and toward plant-based proteins terrible.
We work with an outstanding group of dietitians and meat scientists, and they make sure that those guidelines really are adequate. So we're working to push against that. We want to make sure we have a voice for school lunches, Department of Defense, and the dietary guidelines that includes beef as a good nutritious protein.
Now, the report also recommends reorganizing the order of the protein foods group. It suggests putting beans, peas, and lentils first, nuts, seeds, and soy products second, seafood third, and meat, poultry, and eggs last. The comment period on the proposed 2025 dietary guidelines is open until January 16th, 2025, and the public is invited to present oral comments to the departments when they meet again next month on January 16th. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here's a story that just caught my eye here. Find this one pretty interesting here. Billings Councilwoman Denise Joy to replace Emma Kerr Carpenter in the Montana House. I don't know if you guys heard this. The other day, it was in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. When did this news come out? So a Democrat state senator, and I should know the full name. I think I know the name of the Democrat state senator that stepped down. But let's be honest. The Democrats in the legislature, what have they accomplished? What have they done other than just simply try to obstruct the progress that Montana has seen? What have they done? So they're not really much of movers and shakers, so I can't really tell you. I remember when they named Pat Flowers as the Democrat majority leader. Now I can't even remember. Was it in the House or in the Senate? I can't even remember. I didn't know if Pat was a man or a woman. It's no offense to Pat. I'm sure Pat's a decent person. But it's just like, wait, what are the Democrats doing? The Democrats in the Montana. Now, everybody can tell you Zoe Zephyr's name because Zoe Zephyr is the leader of the Democrat Party here in Montana. Just driven that party off the cliff. My goodness. In fact, I wonder, it'd be really interesting. Somebody really should ask John Tester if he'd ever actually take a question, a real one, not these phony TV station questions, you know, where they never ask him a tough question. Somebody should ask him if he partially blames Zoe Zephyr for his loss. Just the response alone would be interesting. But anyway, I digress. So here's what I find interesting about this. Does it really matter which Democrat serves in the Montana House? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. So Denise Joy, from everything I've heard, is just this far-left socialist on the Billings City Council. So this is a loss for legislative Democrats because they're getting another crazy socialist to represent the crazy Montana Democrat caucus in the legislature. So it's, you know, it's not a win for Billings. It's not a win for Yellowstone County. But then again, they had a Democrat, Emma Kerr Carpenter. She was serving in the Montana House, but when a Democrat senator stepped down, she got appointed to fill that spot. So that opened up a seat in the Montana House. And there were three names put forward by the Yellowstone County Democrats, one of whom was Billings City Councilwoman Denise Joy. And so I threw it out on the airwaves. I was like, ooh, there's an opportunity here. There is a big opportunity here for the largest town in the state of Montana. Big opportunity for Billings. You get this socialist off the city council, throw her in the state house of representatives because she'll just be another one of the wacko socialists in the Democrat caucus there, probably all transgender all the time type of agenda, right? But now the mayor of Billings and the Billings City Council has an incredible opportunity to get some common sense pro-business folks, a person on that city council seat. Will they to this report by Amy Nile for the Billings Gazette, the mayor. So now that the Yellowstone County Commissioners have named Billings City Councilwoman Denise Joy to fill this open seat in the State House of Representatives, now she will have to resign her city council seat before she could then be sworn into the House, and then that would trigger the process for a replacement member of the Billings City Council. Let's see here. So yeah, I remember when I first saw that story that Denise Joy was one of the names of, because what happens is you've got three Republican Yellowstone County commissioners, but if there's a vacancy in the state house, they get to decide who the vacancy is filled by, but they have to choose from a list of three names that are put forward by the Yellowstone County Democrat Central Committee. And so anyway, that's what happened here. But according to Amy Niles' report here, with the Billings Gazette. Once Joy resigns from the Billings City Council, Billings Mayor Bill Cole will have 30 days to appoint a registered voter who lives in the city's Ward 3 to take Joy's place on the council until the next election. Cole said the city will seek applications to fill the $1,000 a month position and allow the public to weigh in on the candidates before the council votes to approve Joy's successor. How cool would it be if you got somebody like Charlie Loveridge in there, who's a business owner, who's been an actual coach, not like Tim Walz in Minnesota, where I'm a coach, Al. How cool would it be if you got somebody like Charlie Loveridge in there? Common sense, business owner, very involved, knows business. He's been involved in things like the Metro Park Advisory Board and so much more. If you could get somebody like that, somebody commonsensical in there to replace these crazed socialists, and it'd be a nice balance, frankly, for that Ward 3. You've got Bill Kennedy in there, former Democrat, Yellowstone County Commissioner. And so I think they'd make a good team, even though the two of them ran against each other in the Ward 3 race, I believe, the last time around. I think Charlie Loveridge was very respectful of Bill Kennedy. And I would hope that would be something that Bill Kennedy would recognize and do a good thing, do the right thing and vote for somebody like Charlie Loveridge to fill that open spot on the city council. And then you'd start to get some balance on that city council. And the mayor is certainly not a right-wing conservative. He's been good on some of the social issues, et cetera. But I think if he truly wants to see moderation and wants to have a legacy of, getting Billings down a good path moving forward, we got to clean up this city council from just the crazy left-wing mob that has been running it, get a little more balance there. And I think somebody like Charlie Loveridge would help do that. But of course, I don't know if me endorsing him is the best help or not. But anyway, we say what we want to around here, don't we?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Oh, we had a great message that came in on the Montana Talks app from Tim in Billings, and it came in just as we were wrapping up our conversation with Senator Steve Daines just a few minutes ago. Yeah, I almost jumped in there as well. Senator Daines had a very gracious line where he was talking about Montana coffee and back in D.C. and how Montana coffee, it's going to be great. You're going to have three combat veterans in the Montana congressional delegation with of course, Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy, Navy SEAL Ryan Zinke, Air Force guy. I'm going to just call him Air Force guy, Troy Downing. But I was almost going to jump in there, too. Tim, I was going to jump in and say, well, Senator, you're the son of a U.S. Marine and a great one at that. So that's don't sell yourself short here. But Tim in Billings said this: don't let Senator Dane sell himself short. He is a veteran of congressional combat and has been fighting in hand-to-hand combat against leftists for years now. I was trying to remember when he first ran for the United States Senate, who did he defeat in that Senate race? God, that was like 10 years ago now. He took over that seat, which for the first time in 100 years had a Republican taken over that seat that was held by, former Democrat Senator Max Baucus, the guy who sold us out to the communist Chinese. But I think he ended up winning against... she's now the radical head of the Montana Federation of Public Employees. He ended up defeating Amanda Curtis, who was this radical socialist in the state legislature. And then now she's pushing this radical LGBTQ transgender agenda on school teachers as the head of the Montana Federation of Public Employees. And in fact, on that front, I had a couple of messages that came in earlier this week. was it earlier this or was it late last? Actually, I think it was late last week. Do you guys remember when we talked with Max Nelson from the Freedom Foundation? We were talking with Max Nelson from the Freedom Foundation about this woke teachers conference that took place back in October in Bozeman, Montana. And it was put on by the Montana Federation of Public Employees. Well, we talked last month about that story with Max Nelson from the Freedom Foundation. And then recently we caught up with Max Nelson once again because he published a new report where he talked about how basically the Montana Federation of Public Employees, they're promoting all of these woke LGBTQ transgender books to give to your kids in your school or in your libraries. And the contrast that was painted by Max Nelson, the contrast that was painted was, okay, look at the contrast that you have here in Montana. You have First Lady Susan Gianforte, Governor Greg Gianforte's wife. One of her big, you know, initiative as First Lady, she's promoting Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. And so for $31 a year, any kid across Montana, I think it's up to 5 years old, they get at least one book mailed to their house every single month. So you get a book every month for $31 a year. So, I mean, it's just a huge deal. And the books that get sent out are these classics, right? They're good, wholesome books. Now, in the contrast, you got the head of the teachers union or the public employees union pushing this woke anti-American, this racist trash, pushing this transgender agenda and so much more. I mean, what a contrast, right? And I think, by the way, I think we're going to hear more. I think more is going to be exposed. If not in the days ahead, you wait till the new year starts in 2025. I think we're going to be able to expose even more of what took place at that woke teachers conference in Bozeman back in October. But anyway, a couple of messages that we had that came in during that conversation. Matt in Kalispell sent us a message. He says, both of my boys are signed up for the Dolly Parton book program. These books have all been good stories to read to the boys before bed. When we get books from our local library, it's a coin toss whether or not we'll get a woke, left-leaning, or even rainbow rights message in the stories. Lately, it seems as if the books from the library all have something partway through the book with a less than desirable message. And it's not represented on the cover or in the descriptions. Dolly's books have been reliably good, wholesome books appropriate for children. That's really interesting when you look at it from that perspective from Matt and Kalispell. But yeah, think about it. Like, think about it. Even just you as a grown adult trying to watch a movie or trying to watch a TV show. Have you ever noticed this? Oh, that looks like a good show. Well, let's turn that one on. And you get about five episodes in, and they're like, oh, come on. You just have to put that in every movie, don't you? You just can't just let it go. You just have to just shove this in people's faces. I mean, for Pete's sake, right? So it sounds like the books for kids are pretty much the same way. I mean, it's kind of like Forrest Gump. You know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Except for you're not getting chocolate. You're getting a bunch of garbage put in front of your kids. You're getting a bunch of garbage on your TV screen. But apparently not with this great program supported by First Lady Susan Gianforte with Dolly Parton. Morgan and Helena had a good point, too. Morgan said this, shouldn't the teachers and the administrators that attended the conference and their schools be public information? It was a taxpayer-funded conference. Yeah, it would be interesting to find out who all was at that, who all was in attendance, especially at some of these more radical sessions, right? By the way, it sounds like there were at least one or two in some of these sessions who were there to see just what these folks were up to and just what these folks were pushing. So, like I say, there may be a lot more to follow on the story of the Woke Teachers Conference in Bozeman, Montana from back in October. All right, let's see. We got some callers on the phone lines. Let's get into the phone lines here. We got Steve and Ballantyne first up. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Well, you know, you hear what, a few days ago, Biden sits there and basically pats Kamala on the back, you know, says she's a great gal, she lost, but got good potential, she's going to go a long ways and all this kind of stuff. Well,
who said that?
Biden. He's praising that girl, right? Okay, this goes back to campaign promises. She was running at the very tail end of the election that she's going to build the border wall. What is Biden doing as of today? He's selling the border wall. So, you know, they lie. The Democrat Party are nothing but liars. She was never going to build a wall. Never. Because if they're so close and buddy buddies, why would Biden be selling the wall that she was going to put up if she got elected president?
Yeah, good point. Well, you know, and how phony, too, because we all know that the Bidens basically can't stand Kamala Harris right now. But he's putting on a good face. He's trying to put on a good face publicly, at least anyway. Hey, speaking of lies, if you had to say, you know, here we're getting to the end of the year. What was the biggest lie of the year? You know, especially politically speaking, you know, news, politics, whatever. What do you think was the biggest lie that we heard this year in 2024? I know I'm just throwing this one at you, so and you can, you know, message us or call back again down the road if you come up with a better one. But if you just had to throw something out there, what would you throw out there, Steve?
The immigrant population coming to the United States are friendly. They're not doing any wrong in this country.
Good people. All good people. Yeah, I heard that line after a bomb would go off in Iraq. Oh, no, neighborhood fine, good people. Really? What a bomb just go off then, right? No, that's a great one. That is a very good one right there. Because there's other candidates that we could have too, right, Steve? Like, you know, Joe Biden, you know, saying that he was not going to pardon his son Hunter. Well, he just pardoned his son Hunter. So that could have been the lie of the year. What else could have been the lie of the year? There's several options, right? Anyway,
anytime their mouth opens.
yeah, exactly. 365 plus options that we could get for lie of the year. Well, the left-leaning website, I asked that question for a reason because you prompted me to talk about an article that I saw earlier this morning at thedailywire.com. So, you know, PolitiFact is this left-wing fake news organization. And whenever they do a fact check, you know, they'll pretend to do a fact check against the Democrats on the little things here and there. But they are a left-wing organization that is biased towards the Democrats. And the fake news TV stations with their pathetic political coverage this year would use PolitiFact all the time. Lee newspapers would use PolitiFact all the time. PolitiFact, guess what they came up with for the lie of the year? Of course, it's something from Donald Trump. And, of course, it's something that is not a lie. But I'll tell you what PolitiFact's lie of the year is right after this. Plus, we got another caller on the line.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Joe Biden's been trying to Trump-proof the DOJ. He's been doing a whole variety of things. Now he's selling off portions of the wall. And now Biden just agreed to a five-year extension. He's got 35 days to go. 35 days. And he agrees to a five-year extension to the science and technology sharing agreement with China. Established by Jimmy Carter, the agreement has attracted increasing scrutiny because of China's epidemic use of scientific knowledge to bolster their military and intelligence services. We know in this last campaign that they were able to hack into the Trump campaign computers and phones and pretty much everything. And we can't even break into the phones of a would-be assassin.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Martha was ready to switch to a career in IT.
There's always a need for IT specialists, especially with AI coming out and cybersecurity. It's practically recession-proof.
My Computer Career even provides job placement help.
The career specialists, they're very helpful. They care about you as a person, you're not just a number to them. I would recommend My Computer Career wholeheartedly to anyone.
Take the free career evaluation today. Become an IT pro in just months with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
Not available in Washington State.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can swim, she can do more.
A guild, a rocket, and watch it soar.
We'll clean the ocean
cure. Invent something new. There's no challenge in the world that she can't face. She can STEM. Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Joy.
And some breaks of sun as the day progresses. Still a chance for a rain or snow shower early in the Bozeman area. High temperatures are from the mid-40s in Bozeman, around 50 in the Billings area. South winds also gust to 40 miles per hour at times in Bozeman late. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid to upper 20s expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Do you get food delivered to your house here in Montana through popular food delivery services like Uber Eats or DoorDash? Watch out. This, according to a former FBI Hispanic gang expert who lives in Bozeman, Montana. He says this is a tactic sometimes used by the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua. That full story.
Go.Bayer.com/purpose. Paid for by Bayer.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, I got a great message from Tim and Savage. What would your candidate be for Lie of the Year? And here we go. He mentioned one that is included in his DailyWire.com story. For Lie of the Year, he says this. Let me get back to my messages here for a second. The Lie of the Year, Biden is competent. Yeah, remember John Tester, Kamala Harris, all these people, all these news outlets. Oh, no, Joe Biden is 100% with it. Oh, yeah, he's no problem at all with Joe Biden. Huge lie of the year, right? But no, you know what PolitiFact is claiming is the lie of the year? When President Trump and J.D. Vance talked about, you know, Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, eating dogs and cats. Look, their statements were based off of news reports, were based off of statements that people were sharing on the record. Now, you could say, well, it wasn't verified. It wasn't. You know, okay, well, how do you verify a story like that? There were 911 phone calls that pointed to that. So how can you say that's the lie of the year? You can say, well, yeah, maybe they, you know, maybe they shouldn't have said it. Maybe this, maybe that. Well, they won big. But anyway, but you can't say that it was a lie. Well, it's very obvious that when they told us that Joe Biden was 100% with it, they were straight up lying and they knew it. When Joe Biden said that he was not going to pardon Hunter, we all knew he was lying. But no, that's not the lie of the year for these left-wing PolitiFact fake news organizations. All right, let's go into the phone lines. We got Cameron in Butte. Cameron, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. I was just calling in to let people know that the Butte Historical Society, which I'm part of, is saving old books, as many as possible. And one of the places where we found the most books getting thrown away is the library. So it fits right into what you're talking about. And it's the other sinister part of the really rotten books being put on the shelves. There's also many more classic books and just primary source books written by people who are actually there, you know, Civil War vets, World War One vets, World War Two vets. And those books are being, and you know, a lot of other founding fathers, those books are being discarded at a rapid rate, and some libraries are honestly throwing them in the dumpsters. So
wow.
To me, it's even more tragic than books being burned in the street, because at least then people were mourning the books being burned in the street, where now people walk past the dumpster and don't even know or care a lot of times. So.
That is fascinating. That's fascinating. They're not only discarding and disregarding the classics and maybe even some wholesome books, maybe some not so wholesome books, but they're replacing them with this woke, crazy nonsense. That is fascinating insight. And so the Butte Historical Society, is that what you said, is working to save these classic books then?
Yes. Yeah, as many as possible. We'll accept any antique book donations. And I would just encourage everybody to inquire at your local library about books being discarded. And
maybe before they throw these away, people can go look through them and say, "Whoa, wait a minute! Hey, no, that's a fascinating phone call, Cameron in Butte. Great to hear from you again. Thanks for calling in. Sorry, we got to hit the quick break here. We had more callers on the line. Stand by if you want, or call back in the 7 o'clock hour. Phone
this
lines are open.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
So we have an election, and the stock price of Tesla soars. We have a president-elect who likes oil production, so those companies look good while the fate of non-Tesla electric vehicle makers sours. And of course, Canada and Mexico worry about tariffs. The occupants of seats in Congress and the White House change, and the prospects for businesses and investment change. That's the way of the world. But is it a good thing for the economy? In the wake of active industrial policies like the CHIPS Act or the Inflation Reduction Act, which funnel tax dollars to specific companies, the power of those approving the earmarks and the special favors has never been larger. It's exactly the kind of game that has been played in developing countries for decades and helps explain their stagnation. It's called crony capitalism, where resources flow to sectors with political connections, not actual returns. The more we emulate places like Brazil and Nigeria, the faster we may converge to the same kinds of outcomes. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.